Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I want to talk to you about the fall classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. This fall, we will be offering Defending the Christian Faith on Monday evenings, American Sign Language on Monday evenings, Financial Peace on Monday evenings. On Tuesday, we will have Biblical Counseling, where we teach people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have a special class coming up on Thursdays, and it will begin in October, dealing with Black Hebrews, something that is happening in our communities today that we want to be aware of. So come and join us here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. Take a class. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. For more information, you can call us at 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen this evening.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare titled Looking for a Reason to Fight, with the first half of The Belt of Truth. So please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Belt of Truth.
Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And we've started a series several weeks ago entitled Something Worth Fighting For. And we said that everybody should have a cause to fight for. That if you are a child of God, that there should be something that you should be about. You should have some purpose in your life. You should have a reason to get up out of bed in the morning. You should have a purpose for what God has called you to. And that once you find that purpose, then we want to let you know that you will receive opposition. And so when you find your purpose and you begin to fight for your purpose, that you may find yourself also fighting against the enemy. And so we're going to continue on today as we talk about how to be in this fight, how to prepare for this battle that we are in. As we review last week's lesson, we began to talk about how do you prepare for the battle. And the first thing that we talked about as we look at, if you move it to the next slide there, is that the background for this passage, and we said that the book of Ephesians is a prison epistle, a letter that Paul wrote from the Roman cell that he was in. And he was being guarded by a Roman soldier. And we looked at this last week, how Paul was chained to this Roman soldier. And when he got ready to make an analogy, he looked at this Roman soldier and said, that's how God takes care of his people in the midst of spiritual battles. And as we continued on last week, we said that the believer is in four types of spiritual battles. Four types of spiritual battles. There's the flesh against the believer, Galatians 5:17, that we are in a battle with the flesh. Every day when you get up, you got to deal with your flesh. That's a spiritual battle that you have to face. And one of the expressions that I'm going to wear out around here, because I think it's so true, and that is sometimes we need to realize that the enemy is enemy. And so that's the battle with the flesh. The second battle that we see ourselves in sometime is God against the believer. And that's found in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it says that when we are not lining up with the things that God would have us to do, that whom the Lord loves, he does spiritual battle with. God loves us too much to let us stay in a state of disobedience. And as I heard somebody say, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. And so we find ourselves sometimes in a battle against God. We find ourselves sometimes the believer against the world. The believer against the world. Sometimes it's this struggle that we have just with the world. And so, you know, just the things in the world. I was sharing with the class this morning. Sometimes when you sit down and you watch a show in the evening, what pops up there a lot of times? These Victoria's Secret commercials, you know, and it becomes a battle. It becomes a struggle. I know if my wife is sitting there watching it, I turn the other way and, you know, so that, because she's looking at me to see if I'm looking. It becomes a battle against the world. You know, just watching your TV, just the influences that the world bombards us with, it becomes a battle in dealing with things of the world. But I'm not talking about the first three battles as we look at this fight that we're dealing with. I'm talking about the last battle, and that is the believer or Satan against the believer. That we have an enemy that's against us, that's attacking us, and that we need to be equipped and we need to be prepared to do battle with the enemy. The reason that we have people who call themselves Christians, who are supposed to be children of the Lord, falling is because they're not putting on this armor. Man, God has given us everything that we need to stand in the battle. And you know, if you ever hear about a believer falling, if you ever hear about Pastor Glaze falling, you can be sure of one thing. The reason that he fell is that he didn't have on the armor. My brothers and sisters, you cannot not have the armor of God on and fall. If you've got it on, that God said that you will be the one standing. Look what he says in verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, there's two things that I want to point out here that I didn't point out last week. And the first thing is this, is that he said that when you have the armor on, that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Well, when is the evil day? The evil day is when the temptation comes along for you to be involved in any type of sin. That's the evil day. The evil day is when Satan allows something bad to enter into your life to cause you to fall. That's the evil day. Let's ask Job about the evil day. His health was taken. His family was taken. His possessions were taken. They were taken by the devil. That was the evil day for Job. When Satan comes into your life to rob you, when Satan comes into your life to destroy you, that's the evil day. And the only way that you're going to stand is to have on the armor of God. The second thing I want to point out about verse 13, he says that you can withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. We're in a wrestling match. We're in a battle. And I know, you know, they got a lot of new fancy cartoons out today, and I don't watch too many of them, so I don't know a whole lot about them. But I know back in the day when we had cartoons, what would happen is that you would see the characters get into a fight. And as the characters in the old cartoons would fight, there would be dust that would be kicked up. And as the dust was kicked up, you couldn't tell what was going on. But when the dust settled, there was one person that stood victorious. God says that you're going to get in battles that's going to kick up a lot of dust in your life. You're going to get in battles that are going to cause you to get into some skirmishes, some fights, some problems that may be overwhelming that you might not be able to deal with. And it might seem like you get lost in the cloud of dust. And you're wrestling with the devil. And you're fighting with the devil. And this dust is up. And you don't know who is going to be victorious. But God says that when the dust settles, he said, "That having done all, stand." That you, having done all, you be the one
that stands. It's not your testimony that's ruined. It's not you that have fallen into temptation. It's not you who have been overcome by sin, but you be the one standing. Man, we got people falling. Man, we got preachers falling. That's why, man, when people tell me that they're praying for me, I don't take that lightly, because I need your prayers. Because I realize that one thing that the devil's after me, I'm going to be honest with you. The devil is attacking me. He attacks me through my health. He attacks me through people around me. I'm telling you, I'm under attack. And I know that one of the reasons that I'm able to keep standing is I got a card from somebody in the mail last week and say, Pastor, I pray for you every morning in prayer. You don't know how much that meant to me to know that somebody is praying for me, because I'm under attack and you're under attack. And unless we put on this armor that God has provided, we're going to find ourselves overcome by the attack. Move on to the next slide. As we just look at last week, we talked about spiritual battles require spiritual strength. We said it's a positional strength. Be strong in the Lord, that you need to put your roots down in the Lord. It's just like that plant. That plant is rooted in that soil, and it draws its moisture from the soil. And just like that plant, you need to put your roots into the Lord through devotion and prayer and Bible study and fellowship. Be strong in the Lord. And then we talked about a practical strength, and that is the righteousness of God, the peace of God, faith, the word of God. So there's a positional strength and a practical strength. And once again, if you want to know more about that and you weren't here last week, I suggest that you get that message and you'll be able to get caught up on what we talked about. Then the spiritual battles require a spiritual suit. The first thing, we got the mandate to put on the armor. This is not a wish. This is not God saying, well, if you think about it, well, if you get the chance. He said, put it on, and somebody help me finish this. Put it on and what? Keep it on. Oh, y'all was with me last week. Amen. Put it on and keep it on. Well, some people say, I got the armor. I'm getting ready to go to bed. Let me take off the armor. No. You keep it on. Satan will attack you while you sleep, and he'll attack you before you can put your feet on the floor good. Put it on and keep it on. Don't take it off. The second thing we see is that the motive for putting it on. Why do we put on a suit? That we might be able to stand. And the third thing, or the next point, spiritual battles require spiritual sight. And we talked about the sight to see the assault, that your battle was not with your husband, not with your wife, not with your children. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. He makes that very clear, that it's not a flesh and blood battle. The second thing we see is the sight to see the adversary. And we talked about this last week. Who are the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness in this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places? That's where the adversary is at. That's who you're fighting against. And then we concluded last week by saying the sight to see your assistance, that you are not in this battle all by yourself, but you have help. And the help that you have is the whole armor of God. And we're going to look at a specific piece of equipment this morning. And the piece that we're going to look at today is found in verse 14, and it is the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth. He says in verse 14, and you know, I just want to pray right now. Let me pray again. Father, I just pray right now because I know that Satan is working in the minds and hearts of people. And Lord, his desire is to close their eyes to this message. His desire is that they wouldn't hear what you have for them to hear today. But Lord, right now I pray that you would just put a hedge of protection around this sanctuary, Lord. And Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around the minds and the hearts of each and every person that's here. And Lord, that you would allow them to receive what it is that you want them to receive. Lord, Satan has deceived a lot of people. Lord, Satan has caused a lot of people to swallow the big lie. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would help them to understand the importance of this message. And, Lord, that the reason many Christians are falling today is because they don't have on the girdle of truth. And so, Lord, help them to understand what it means to have on the girdle of truth and to be honest, Lord, and to be a person of integrity and be a person of knowing what is the right thing. And so, Father, touch each and every heart as we continue on in this message today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. From the beginning, and if you have your notes, you can pull them out and follow along with the outline on the projection unit. From the beginning, Satan has attacked the truth of God. My. From the very beginning, he has attacked the truth of God. He came to Eve and said, God didn't really say that. Has God said this? What did he tried to put doubt in the truth of God. And he still continues to do so, even up until today. He also aims for the chinks in the armor of God when Christians lie, deceive, and we are involved in hypocrisy. Those are chinks that we leave in the armor for Satan to come in and attack. And so for this reason, Paul says to the believer that you need to have your loins girded about with truth. The first point that we want to make today is preparation for the villain. Preparation for the villain. Satan is the villain. And when believers are girded about with the truth, you are prepared to meet the villain. A lot of people have a flat tire. And what do? They go in the back. They get their spare. They put their spare on. They throw the flat in the back. And they ride around sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months with a bad spare in the back. What does that tell you? That they're not prepared. You're not prepared for a flat tire. You're not prepared if you need to have another tire because the one in the back is flat. So in order for you to be prepared, you have to get the one in the back repaired. That's why it's wise, as soon as you get a flat tire, that you need to go to the garage, the tire shop, or wherever, and get your tire fixed. Why? So that you can have a spare and be prepared. See, Satan comes at a lot of us, and we are not prepared to deal with him. You know why Satan comes into some people? And I'm just going to be honest with you, because you liar. You a liar. You a liar. Every chance you get, you lie. And if you're not lying, you're thinking about how you can get out of this or thinking about how you can get out of that. And Satan loves that. Turn to John 8:44. John 8:44. And here, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he tells them in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, you know what? Let's get one thing straight right from Jump Street, that whenever you tell a lie, let's just be honest, just say that you had opened yourself up to Satan to work, because he's the father of lies. He is the distorter of the truth. And you know, sometimes, you know, you have the opportunity to tell a lie real quick. You know, I know sometimes my wife, you know, in our kitchen, she likes to have all the closet doors. You know, once somebody goes in and gets something out, she wants them closed. I see somebody else. I see another person is the same way. You know, she wants them closed. And, you know, sometimes my kids go in and they leave them open. And she'll say something. And, you know, sometimes I'll go and I'll forget to close it. And it's very easy to say, well, you know, I didn't leave it. It's very easy to say that I didn't leave it open. So sometimes I just get quiet and don't say anything. So maybe she'll stop asking. I won't have to say that I did it. Because I don't want to lie, you know. I don't want to lie. Because I realize that when you lie, who you're being influenced by. You know, well, yeah, it might be the flesh. You know, I said last week, we can't blame everything on the devil. But I tell you what, it says right, John lets us know that lies are straight from the pit of hell. That whenever you tell a lie, you know, I can put up with a lot of things. I can deal with folks who are dealing with addictions. I can deal with folks who are dealing with financial struggles. But the one thing that I have a problem with is a liar. I just have a problem with a liar. Because, you know, it don't cost anything to be honest and tell the truth. And when you lie, you're being sucked up by the devil. And so that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, stand therefore having your loins girded about with the truth. Now, when you think of being girded, the idea of being girded means to be ready. You remember when God got ready to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was getting ready to move them out. He said, when you eat the Passover, what did he say? Gird up your loins. Be ready. Jesus told the disciples that I'm coming back again. And you need to gird yourself up. You need to be ready. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. One of the things that I have a hard time understanding, I just have a hard time understanding this, and maybe somebody can explain it to me. I've tried to figure it out, you know, without staring too much. But I can't figure out how the brothers have their pants, like, right down here, and they keep walking. Somebody, you know, not right now, but after service, somebody please come and explain that to me. I'm not criticizing right now. I'm not saying that it's wrong right now. I just want to know how you do that. How do you do that? And then if you got to get up in the wind, what? I can't figure it out. So what Paul was saying here, basically, to put it in terms that we can understand, pull up your pants. Why? Because you never know when you're going to have to run. I wonder how many brothers got busted because they had their pants down. And they just couldn't get away. So what Paul is saying here, gird them up, pull them up. You can't be flapping in the wind. You know, you got to pull your testimony together. You got a purpose in your heart that you're not going to be open to deceit, deception, hypocrisy, and lies. You got to pull it up. You got to gird it up. Paul said, be ready. Gird yourself with the truth. And you know the thing that absolutely blows me away is that when you think about, you know, the whole idea where he says having your loins, this is a deep word. This word, loins, is a very interesting word. God told Jacob, he said, out of you shall come many kings. Listen to this. And out of your loins shall come many descendants. In the Old Testament, as you read, when people got in close-to-close contact, notice what they didn't do. If they had a sword, they didn't try to chop off their head. They didn't try to stick them in the heart. Most of the time in the Old Testament, you remember it in the book of Judges when Ehud, who was a judge, went up and tried to kill the king? What did he do? He went up to him and hit him right in here. Hit him right in the loins, because that is a vulnerable place. Think about the loins. Just think about the loins for a second. That's where most, other than your heart and your brain, that's where some of your major vital organs are. A lot of times that people get cancer, they get attacked where at? Right in the loins. And Paul said, Satan, sometimes he's just going right for your loins. And when he can get you to be tripped up with a lie, and when he can get you to fall and get into deceit and hypocrisy, where is he hitting you at? He's hitting you right there. And if you got your pants drooping, he's going to get you. Every time, he's going to get you. You know, Paul lived in a culture where both the men and women wore these flowing garments. And oftentimes when it came time to get serious and when it came time to do battle, they had to pull it together. They couldn't run around flapping in the wind. They had to pull that thing together and be tight. And Paul says here, he says that the enemy is coming and that you need to gird up the loins. You need to be walking in the truth. You need to stay away from all type of satanic lies. You need to leave them alone, because he's coming after you unless you're prepared to deal with him. He's going to get you every time. The preparation for the villain. And then we see the protection for the vulnerable. And I already alluded to that a little bit, and that is the whole idea of the loins. When the believer is girded about with truth, his most vulnerable areas are protected. The loins are the very vulnerable area. It is an area which contains many of our vital internal functions, including our reproductive organs. If one wanted to land a fatal blow, the loins would be a strategic place to inflict a wound. And when Satan wants to attack us, Satan attacks us at the heart of who we are. Satan attacks us in our loins. He hits us right here. Remember what I say, in the loins are the reproductive organs of the body. And they had to be protected. Your testimony. Your testimony is one of the only things that you have for sure. You can lose your house. You can lose your clothes. You can lose your car. You can lose even your family. But one thing that will stay with you throughout eternity is your testimony. And saints, we need to work at making sure we keep our testimony pure. You know, one of the things that scares me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Belt of Truth. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Belt of Truth, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Belt of Truth. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Belt of Truth. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.